My mind this morning is on a passage of Scripture that is found in the Gospel recorded by John and in the last chapter of John's Gospel. In this chapter, we have recorded for us a conversation that took place between Jesus and his disciples after his resurrection from the grave. We know Jesus died on the cross. We know he was buried. And we also know that 3 days later, he arose again. So let's look now in chapter 21 of John, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. Jesus showed himself in his resurrection body to his disciples that were gathered by the Sea of Tiberias. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So these brethren have gathered together. And you know what they were doing? They were fishing. They had gone back to fishing. Jesus had died and was buried. And they're assuming in their minds that it's all over. And now he appears to them in his resurrection body. But let's notice in verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And we know the story how Jesus appeared to them and blessed them to catch a great multitude. Now later in this chapter, I want to come down to verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus prepared for them a meal there on the shore of the lake. And he fed them. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I want to ponder a moment with you that question. Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, y'all remember that the Apostle Peter had denied that he knew Jesus. As a matter of fact, he got in the flesh and cursed and swore he had never known Jesus. Do y'all remember that? And he denied him 3 times. Now, I want to tell you, that was serious. For this man, Peter, who was a child of God, who was saved by grace, who became an apostle, for him to deny that he even knew Jesus was a serious thing. So now Jesus is resurrected, and he's appeared to them on the seashore, and he's cooked breakfast for them. Jesus was hospitable. He fed these men. You know, when you feed somebody, that shows that you love them. Would you all agree with that? I mean, when you invite them into your home, Christian hospitality is a wonderful thing. And I've been blessed all my lifetime to enjoy Christian hospitality, many good meals. Well, Jesus feeds these brethren, and they dine, and after they've eaten, Jesus did not bring up Simon Peter's sin. How many of you would have brought it up? Jesus never said a word about it. I think if it had been me, I'd have said, Now, Simon, why did you deny me? Why did you curse and say you never knew me? When you know you knew me, why would you do that? See, I probably would ask him that. Jesus never brought it up. You want to see the heart of Jesus, the love of Jesus? He didn't bring it up. He just let that go. And I want to tell you, if people have hurt you in this life, you need to learn to let it go. Amen? How many of y'all are good at it? Let me tell you, if you don't watch out, bitterness can set up in your heart and burn out your ability to even think or reason. So don't let that happen. So Jesus is going to talk to the Apostle Peter, but I want y'all to notice what he asked him. Listen again to the question. Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And I think that question tells us the most important thing in your life and my life. How much do we love Jesus? And how much do we love one another? That's what Jesus was concerned about. He asked Simon, do you love me? Listen to this. Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Now, who are the these under consideration? Well, I think it's probably talking about the fish and the fishing. He'd gone back to fishing, but he's now being confronted by Jesus. And Jesus says, do you love me? And I want you to notice the... And if Jesus was here this morning, and he is, you know, through the Holy Spirit, because he's everywhere present, nowhere absent. If Jesus walked up to you and me this morning and asked us, do you love me? What would your answer be? Ponder that a moment. If he was right here this morning in his body and said, Sam, do you love me? I hope I would say exactly what the Apostle Peter said. Do y'all remember what he said? Let's read it. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now listen to that answer. He said, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, now, Jesus has asked him, do you love me? And Peter has said, yes, I love you. And then, do you know what Jesus said to the Apostle Peter? He said, feed my sheep. Now, I want to focus on that just a moment. What Jesus said to him. Jesus said to this man, feed my sheep. Now, what sheep was Jesus wanting the Apostle Peter to feed? It wasn't some four-legged sheep that Jesus had somewhere in a corral in Jerusalem. You know who the sheep are under consideration? His people. Jesus referred to his people as sheep. Y'all do know that. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I believe I'm preaching to sheep this morning. Y'all are not four-legged sheep, but if you're a child of God, you're a sheep. And that's how Jesus referred. You're not a goat, you're a sheep by grace divine. And now Jesus says to the Apostle Peter, feed my sheep. Now he asked him a second question. Do y'all remember the second question he asked Peter? He asked him again, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Now that's the second question. And it was just like the first question. And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said to him again, feed my sheep. Now, he asked him that question three times. Do you love me, Peter? And three times, the Apostle Peter said, yes, I love you. And Peter was troubled that Jesus asked him the third time. Why did Jesus ask him three times? Do you love me? Maybe it was to let all of us know just how important it is for you and me to love him. How many of y'all want to love Jesus? How many of y'all want to love him with all your heart and soul and mind and might? And how many of y'all believe that he's worth loving? I want to say he's altogether lovely. And the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Everything about Jesus is lovely. I've known him for 60 plus years. And I've read his book. And I've walked with him and talked with him for over 60 years. And I want to say this morning, beloved, I've never found one thing about Jesus that wasn't lovely. He's altogether lovely. Now, that can't be said by any of us. There's a lot of lovely people in this house this morning, and I love y'all. But I want to tell you, none of us are altogether lovely. And if you lived with us for a few days, you'd find out. Right? But I want to tell you this morning, he is altogether lovely. And he's wanting the Apostle Peter to love him. And when the Apostle Peter said, "Yes, I love you," Jesus said, "Feed my sheep and feed my lambs." Now, beloved, if our brethren out in the religious world were right about their doctrinal teaching that the purpose of a preacher is to go out and save people and find goats and make them into sheep, then this would have been the perfect place for Jesus to have said that, wouldn't it? But Jesus didn't say to Peter, "Go make me some sheep." He said, "Go feed my sheep." I remember a humorous story I heard many years ago about some boys. They had some goats in the neighborhood, but they wanted a sheep. But they didn't have any sheep. They just had goats. And one of the boys said, "Well, I heard the preacher say that if you get baptized, you go in the water a goat, but you come out a sheep." And they thought, "Well, if we'll take one of these goats down to the creek and baptize him, maybe this goat will come out a sheep." Well, they baptized him two or three or four times. He kept coming up a goat. And finally, one of the boys said, "Well, just let him go." Let me tell you, a preacher can no more take somebody who is not a child of God and make him a child of God than those boys could make a goat a sheep. How many of y'all agree with that? You and I can't do that. And the Apostle Peter couldn't do that. But the Lord did say, "Feed my sheep." Sheep need to be fed. Lambs need to be fed. And that's one reason we come to church, to be fed. And you know, the Apostle Peter is going to be sent by Jesus Christ to feed some sheep down in Caesarea Philippi. And I want to call your attention now to Acts chapter 10, where let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 10 of the Acts of the Apostles. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, Cornelius was an officer in the Roman army. He had 100 men under his command. He was a high-ranking officer in the Roman army. Let me read the verse again. "And there was a man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band." So he's a Gentile. He's a soldier in the Roman army. Now, y'all keep this in mind. Keep in mind who Cornelius is. He's not a Jew, but I believe he's a sheep. I believe he's one of God's sheep. Now, let's read what the Bible says about Cornelius. The Bible says he was a devout man and one that feared God. And he feared God with all his house. And he gave alms to the people. Alms is when you give to the poor. You give to those that are around you that are in need. And the Bible says that Cornelius gave much alms to the people. And now watch this. He prayed to God always. Now let's look at this man, Cornelius. He's devout. He fears God. He gives much alms to the poor. And he prays to God always. Now, beloved, if words mean anything, this man, Cornelius, has already been touched by the grace of God. He's already been saved and born again and given a spiritual nature. See, men in nature, before they're born of the Holy Spirit, they're not devout. They don't fear God. When Paul would describe the man who has not been born again in Romans chapter 3, he says there is no fear of God before his eyes. Well, this man fears God. This man, Cornelius, has already been touched by the grace of God. He gives alms to the poor. You know, that's wonderful, isn't it? That he would go around, he would see somebody hungry, and he would feed them. He saw somebody that needed clothes, and he would clothe them. I want to tell you, this man is already a child of God. He's bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, I'm confident that Cornelius was already saved by grace. And he prays to God always. If you had a neighbor, and you knew your neighbor, that your neighbor was devout, that he feared God, that he went around giving money to those that were poor and in need, and he prayed to God always, wouldn't you assume he's already a child of God? Of course you would. He's not dead in sin. He's been made alive in Jesus Christ. I want to ask the congregation this morning, how many of y'all are devout? How many of y'all fear God? How many of y'all help the poor? How many of y'all pray continually? If you do, that's evidence that you've already been touched by the grace of God and that you've been brought into God's family. So, Cornelius, there's no doubt in my mind but what he is already a child of God. Now, verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Listen, folks, this is not somebody on their way to hell. This is a man that's been saved by grace and on his way to heaven. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial for God. Now his prayers and his almsgiving didn't save him, but it's an evidence he's been saved, right? You know, Jesus said you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. I'm not real good telling what this tree is and what that tree is just by the bark. I can't look at a tree in the wintertime when it's not bearing fruit and always tell you what it is. But I could probably identify a pecan tree. And I could probably identify maybe a peach tree. But there's a lot of fruit trees out there. I wouldn't know what they are until I see fruit on them. Now, when I see an apple on a tree, I know it's an apple tree. You tell a tree by the fruit it bears. Look at the fruit this tree's bearing. He fears God. He gives to the poor. He prays continually. This man's bearing spiritual fruit. He's already a child of God. He doesn't need to be saved from hell to heaven. Jesus took care of that on the cross. But he needs to be fed. Now, so he has this vision. And God is saying to him, send men to Joppa and call one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And so the Lord, in a vision, is telling Cornelius to send some men to Joppa, where the Apostle Peter is. And I want you to go down there, and I want you to tell them to bring the Apostle Peter with them. So, and when the angel which spake Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when they had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Okay, this Gentile Roman soldier, a centurion, has gotten a vision from God to send two of his servants to Joppa to get a man named Peter to come to his house. So, Cornelius is obedient, but the Lord's going to have a little harder time with the Apostle Peter. Y'all hold on now. Y'all stay with me. Okay, let's look now. Verse 9, and on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. We know what it is to get hungry, don't we? We would eat. So Peter's getting hungry. He wants to eat. And he falls into a trance. Now, this is God working in the life of this man, Peter. And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. So, beloved, the Apostle Peter's on the housetop. He's fallen into a trance, and God is giving him a vision. And this vision is, let's read about it. He saw a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, you all have got to appreciate this. The Apostle Peter is a child of God. He's been saved by grace. He's been born of the Holy Spirit. He's called to be an apostle. But he is a Jew. And he's still in his mind under the Jewish dietary laws. And the Jews don't eat unclean food. They don't eat shrimp. They don't eat pork. They don't eat catfish. The Jews go by the dietary laws of the Old Testament. And even though the Apostle Peter has been saved by grace, and he's been with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he knows a lot now, but I tell you, he's got a lot to learn. He's still under those Old Testament dietary laws. And so when this sheet comes down from heaven and it's full, let's read again. Wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And the Lord said to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He's hungry. And the Lord has let down this sheet full of the... Now, this is a vision. And the Lord said, "Rise, kill and eat." Now, you would think the Apostle Peter at this point, this is probably 7 to 8 years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus back to glory. But still, he's in his mind under those Jewish dietary laws. And let's notice what the Apostle Peter said. "Not so, Lord." How many of y'all would say that to God? When God told you to do something, would you say, "Not so, Lord"? Well, Peter did. "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." In other words, I'm kosher. I eat just according to the law. I would never eat anything common or unclean. Nothing common or unclean is ever entered into my mouth. The voice spake to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean? Well, first of all, I think it gives us permission to eat catfish or shrimp or pork ribs. You know, one time I was on a bus, a Greyhound bus, traveling from Little Rock, Arkansas to Birmingham, and I sat down by a young black man from Africa, and he was very quiet. He was very reserved, but, you know, I like to talk, and it was going to be a long trip, so I got to talking to him, and he would talk a little, and I found out he was a Muslim, and his name was Mohammed. You know, that's the most common name in the world, Mohammed. And in the conversation, I finally asked him, I said, what would happen if you ate a piece of pork? And he looked at me. Now, he hadn't been looking at me much, but he turned and looked at me, and he said, you mean on purpose? You mean I would eat a piece of pork on purpose? I said, yes. He said, well, that would be one whole sin. I never did find out what one whole sin was, but I figured it was major. One bite of something I had for breakfast. I had some good boar's head honey ham. If he took one bite of that, that would seal probably his destiny in hell. You know, that's a sad doctrine, isn't it? That's a very sad doctrine. Well, that's the mind of the Apostle Peter. He's an apostle. He's been saved by grace. He will later write 2 books in the New Testament. He preached that glorious sermon on the day of Pentecost. And yet, he's still got a lot to learn. And you know what I was wondering this morning when I was studying this? How much has Brother Sam still got to learn? There is no telling. I'm sure there's a lot yet for me to learn. I've got a lot of books, and I got this book, and I need to be reading and studying constantly. How many of y'all figure y'all got something else you need to learn? Come on now. Well, the Apostle Peter said, not so, Lord. The Lord let this sheep down 3 times. He's a stubborn Jew. He's bullheaded. You would think 1 time would be enough. But no, 3 times the sheep comes down and God says, rise, kill and eat. And he said, nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth. And the Lord said, call not thou common or unclean that which I have cleansed. Now the deeper lesson right here is this. That those animals in that sheep, those wild beasts, those creeping things, you know what they represent? They represent you and me by nature. You and I are sinners by nature, unclean, unfit. How many of y'all can witness to that today? Has God showed you your sins, your iniquities? If he has, I want to tell you that's an evidence you've been saved by grace. Yes, by nature we were unclean and unfit. But you know what cleansed us? It wasn't soap and water. It wasn't the waters of baptism. You know what saved us and cleansed us? The precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Now you say, how can blood wash somebody? It seems to me like it's a stain. Well, I want to tell you, it was the life in the blood that saved us. And I want to tell you what Jesus said to this man. Don't you call common or unclean that which I have cleansed. Jesus was not calling Peter to go down to Caesarea to cleanse Cornelius of his sins. Jesus had already done that. How many of y'all believe Jesus is the one that cleanses sinners? It's not us. I believe in baptism. I believe in water baptism. Nelda and I got to be at a beautiful baptism in Arkansas back in December when we were there. Old Union Church has a creek running by the side of it, and 2 young people were baptized that day in that creek. One of Nelda's grandsons, Callan, joined 2 weeks ago, but it was too cold last week, and I don't guess they had a baptism today. But I want to tell you, brother, I believe in baptism, don't y'all? It's a testimony, a witness that I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you believe in Him, if you believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, you ought to be baptized in His name. But water baptism is not what cleanses you from your sins. There'll be multitudes in heaven that were never baptized down here on earth. But I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us. And so God says to the Apostle Peter, don't you call common or unclean that which I have cleansed. Now who did Jesus clean? Who did He make ready for heaven? All of the elect family of God. And you know what? That's a big number. I want to go with y'all this morning over to, you know, let's go to the book of Revelation. And I want y'all to look with me just a moment at a verse in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 7. You know, there's a lot about heaven that you and I don't know, and we won't know until we get there. But there's one thing we do know about heaven, because God gave John, by revelation, a vision of heaven, what it will be like when you and I get there. And this is recorded. Y'all want to know what heaven's going to be like? Here it is, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. They sung a new song. You know, in heaven, we're going to sing. If you don't like singing, you won't like heaven, because I want to tell you, there's going to be some singing in heaven. And he said they sung a new song, and I believe it was Amazing Grace. And they sung a new song. That's our national anthem, you know, as Old Baptists. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain. This is talking about Jesus. Thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Beloved, when you and I get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. And we're not going to see Him in His crucified body on a cross. We're going to see Him in all of His glory. What a day that'll be, won't it? When you and I see Jesus in all of His glory, and we're going to sing to Him, and we're going to say, You're worthy of all worship, for Thou wast slain and has redeemed us, that is, bought us back to God by Thy blood out of just the Jewish race? No. Just out of the white race? No. Just out of the black race? No. Listen, let me tell you, my friends, we're going to see a people there out of every kindred. That is, every family on the face of the earth will have people there. And every tongue, that is language. You know those old Indian dialects here in America that died out before man ever got to America with the Bible. But I believe there'll be people in heaven from those Indian dialects that we never knew anything about. But they'll be in glory by the grace of God. Y'all believe that? You say, how can they go to heaven with that? They never heard the gospel. By grace. You know, I'm glad right now I'm a preacher, because I got some good news to tell y'all. Heaven is going to be full. And it's going to be full of people out of every family, every language, every people, and every nation. That's what heaven's going to be. Listen. And of course, Peter is an Orthodox Jew in a way. I mean, he's still under those dietary laws. And see, the Jewish people thought that if they went into a Gentile home, they would be defiled. My Jewish friend in Cochrane, Yossi, whom I really love, told me, he said, my mother would never eat a meal with a Gentile. Now, she was really under the law. He's still under the law a lot. I wish I could get him to see that Jesus is the Messiah. But they've been blinded. But I want to tell you, that'll be in heaven by grace. Y'all believe that? Yeah. I hope y'all are excited about this. I'm trying to show y'all that the Lord is taking a Jew with that Jewish mindset, thinking they're better than everybody else,
And God is going to show him, God is pulling down all of these racial barriers. And God has got a people even among the Gentiles. So finally, Peter, stubborn, bull-headed Peter, said, okay, I'll go if you insist. I'm glad the Bible tells us about the Apostle Peter, because so many of us are just like him. Is anybody stubborn in the house today? Don't punch your wife or husband now. But we all got a little stubbornness in us, hadn't we? Well, Peter sure did. But brother, after the third vision, he gets up and goes. Now, Cornelius is a child of God. He's born again. He'd go to heaven if he never heard the gospel. I believe that with all my heart. Because see, the gospel is sheep food. It doesn't make sheep, it feeds sheep. But he's still in darkness himself. And when the Apostle Peter gets down there, he wants to fall down and worship the Apostle Peter. That's darkness, isn't it? He's still got a lot to learn too. Anybody who ever idolizes a preacher, let me tell you, you're in trouble. You'll be just like the whale that swallowed Jonah. Anybody that swallows a preacher, you're going to get sick. You know, that whale did get sick and vomited him up. You ought to love your preachers now. I want y'all to love preachers and appreciate preachers, but don't ever swallow one. It'll make you sick. Well, this man wanted to worship the Apostle Peter. And Peter said, get up. And he began to preach to him Jesus. Now, why is the Apostle Peter down there in this Gentile soldier's home to feed him the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why do y'all come to church? I hope you come to be fed. And here, beloved friends, is our storehouse. This is our pantry. The Bible is what I'm supposed to be preaching. You go to a church and hear a man preach, and all he wants to talk about is philosophy and quote some old ancient philosopher or poet. That's not the gospel. Here's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's sheep food and lamb food. And if you love the Bible, if you can read Psalm 23, a simple, beautiful, I say simple, it's simply profound and profoundly simple, the 23rd Psalm. If you've ever read it and it blessed you, that's all the evidence you need that you're one of the sheep and you're feeding on sheep food. Amen? Because let me tell you, this world doesn't care for this book. No. But I want to tell you, a young man one time, Brother Sonny Powell shared this with us, a young man he knew was in college in a biology class, and the professor came in the class and had a Bible and threw it on the floor and stomped on it and said, we'll have none of that in here. Now that's darkness, brethren and sisters. There's nothing in the Bible that contradicts true science. Anyway, he's down there and he's feeding the sheep. He's feeding. See, Cornelius got his whole house together. You can have church in your home. Did you know that? We used to have a lot of home meetings right here in Middle Georgia. We probably ought to be having them again. But anyway, they had a wonderful home meeting and they were baptized. Now, I want to turn with you to Acts chapter 11 and notice a verse 14. The Lord is talking and saying, I'm going to send this man to Joppa. No, I'm going to send him to Caesarea, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now, our Armenian brethren, whom we love, but we don't agree with them on this doctrine, they say, well, Brother Sam, that verse says that God sent Peter to Cornelius to save him and his house. Yes, but saved from what? See, when you come up on the word saved in your Bible study, always ask this question. What's under consideration? What am I to be saved from? It's not always talking about hell, beloved friends. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things right here in Middle Georgia you and I need to be saved from today. A lot of things. We've got two liquor stores in Cochrane now, and I think there's plans for a third one. And I've said this, we're going to have the happiest town in Georgia. You know, happy hour, they talk about happy hour. You start at 5, happy hour starts at 5. It's over at 7. Well, I want to tell you, you need to be saved from alcoholism. It can ruin your family, ruin your life. Amen? And if you'll stay in this book and you'll go to church and you'll love God and love one another and stay in the fellowship of people that are trying to help you to live a good life, you can be saved from alcoholism, from drug addiction. I had a friend the other day call me and said, "Brother Sam, my grandson wanted me to give him $20. And he said, "I wouldn't." And he said, "Why?" "Because I know what you're going to do with it. You're going to buy dope." Can you imagine a 14-year-old already addicted to dope? I want to be saved from that. I want my grandchildren to be saved from it. How many parents in the house today want your children to become dope addicts? No, there's a lot to be saved from. From adultery, from pornography, from lying and stealing. There's a lot of things in this world I need to be saved from today. And as I stay in the house of God with people like you all, it helps save me. Y'all agree with that? It's not saving me from hell to heaven. Jesus did that on the cross. Hope you can see that. But the Bible talks a lot about us saving ourselves from this crooked generation that we live in. Oh God, help us to save one another. Now, if you all will hear the word of God and receive it and humble yourselves before God and say, "Lord, help me. I'm weak." How many of y'all like that song, "Poor, weak, and worthless though I am"? That's my song. But I have a rich, almighty friend. Jesus the Savior is his name. He freely loves and without end. I want y'all to know that Jesus loves you today. He loves all of us, and we need him. I need him every day of my life, not just on Sunday when I'm preaching. I need him in the morning. I'll need him all my lifetime, and he's there. He's always there. So, beloved, Jesus gives us the church, and God brought the church to America. You know, the Pilgrim Fathers came across the ocean. Now, there were people coming to America for financial gain, but there were pilgrims who came with their Bibles across the dangerous Atlantic Ocean. And you know why they were coming here? Because they wanted freedom to worship God according to the convictions of their heart. And I believe that's what made America great. How many of y'all do know America is a great nation, highly favored and blessed? I've been in about 20 countries in this world. And let me tell you, the first time I ever left America and came back, flew into New York City, I wanted to get on my knees and kiss the pavement. I had seen poverty. I had seen bondage. Let me tell you, we live in a great land, but you and I would be shocked to know how indebted this nation is to the influence of God's divine word. And as we turn away from it more and more as a people, and I tell you, a lot of these young people don't even want to go to church. We want a church where young people feel loved and wanted and welcomed. Amen? Let's show them attention. Give them a few M&Ms, a piece of chewing gum. That's what they used to give me when I was a kid. And let me tell you, they showed love to us. How many of y'all do that? Show love to these children. And let's have a church where we are all being saved daily from the influences of a wicked world. Oh, may God help us all. Now, the Apostle Peter was sent to preach to Cornelius. And I believe he fed him. And a church was established there. And may you and I, by God's grace, continue to feed ourselves. You know, you can feed yourself. If you've got a Bible, you can read your own Bible and feed yourself with the Word of God. You say, "Brother Sam, I can't understand the Bible." Well, join the club. Listen, there's a lot in this book I still don't understand. And I've been reading it 60 years. When I was a boy and started preaching, you know, at age 15, I looked at this book and I thought, well, that's not a real big book. What am I going to preach on after I preached all this? Well, 60 years later, the book has gotten a lot bigger and I've gotten a lot smaller. So don't think, well, I don't understand. Read what you do. Listen, this is written at a seventh grade level, the King James translation. And by the way, it's G-rated. Everything in there children can read. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, may we love the Bible. And thank you all for coming today and letting me try to share with you some wonderful truths from the Scripture. So remember the question, the most important question, do you love me? And if you love Him and you're not a member of the church, I want to encourage you to come, because I believe you're in the midst of a people that would love you. Not perfectly, but we would love you and want you to feel right at home here in our fellowship. We need members, don't we? We need people to join the church. We want the church to continue, and we want you to feel welcome.